Thank you, Brother Kicker, and good morning, everyone. It is a great Lord's Day today, and we are praying for Brother Phillips, who is away at his gospel meeting at the Christian Chapel congregation in West Alabama. We're delighted that you're here with us, especially if you're visiting, and we hope that you'll come back. We're kind of visitors ourselves, but you just make us feel so wonderful every time that we're here, and we're grateful for that. Thank you for your love for God and for your love for his people and for your love for your fellow man. Okay, so it's one of the most popular holidays of the year, right? We try to show appreciation for Mother, and that means more long-distance calls on this day than any other holiday. And it also means that the restaurant wait time is longer on this day than any other day. And by the way, I will keep that in mind for you. And on the other hand, if our mothers are no longer with us, then it may be a day of bittersweet reflection. But either way, it's typically a very sentimental day. Now, Jesus gives us a new twist on this in Luke chapter 11. So he was in the middle of a blistering rebuke. In fact, he talked about unclean spirits, and if you clean out the house, then what's going to happen? I mean, you think you have it swept, he said there'll be seven more that will come back, and it'll be worse in the latter state than it will be the first. Jesus was attacking their hypocrisy. And in the midst of this chapter, in the midst on either side of this, a woman just kind of blurts out, "Blessed be the one who bore you and nursed you." In other words, his mother. And it's sort of like in the midst of all this really tough thing that someone just thought, for relief, I'll just speak up and say, "You have a wonderful mother," you know. But it's typical for mothers, so I think it's nice, mothers to get credit for the good things that their children do. Abraham Lincoln said concerning his mother, "All that I have and all that I am, I owe to my saintly mother." So in Luke chapter 11, because of Jesus' amazing teaching that was like nothing else they had ever heard, he astonished the people. Someone wanted to give blessing to his mother. But Jesus had a different idea. When you look at it, he rebutted what she said. Verse 28, Jesus said, when she said, "Blessed be the one," Jesus said, "Rather, blessed is he who hears the word of God and keeps it." Luke 11 and verse 28. So you mark this down, what Jesus said. More blessed than motherhood is the one who hears and keeps the word of God. I think right there is evidence that we ought not to be worshiping any human being on this earth. We ought not to elevate anyone other than the Godhead to worship. And even to use one's own terms, we ought not to be venerating Mary as a special intercessor for Christ. Yea, rather blessed is the one that hears the word of God and does it. No disrespect, as Jesus put her in her place, as in a human being that, like anybody else, needs to be hearing and doing the will of God. Well, it is utmost importance for us to hear and to keep the word of God. And Jesus said this at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So if you will turn with me to Matthew, we'll go over to Matthew at this point, and we'll go to chapter 7. And after his teaching in chapter 5, in chapter 6, now in chapter 7, the Bible says at the very end, Jesus said, verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I mean, it fell hard. It didn't just kind of lean a little bit. It imploded. It was a disaster, is what Jesus is trying to get us to see. If we come in contact with the Scriptures, if we hear the Word of God, and we may even say, well, that's nice, and we may be like some, we may respond, hear the Word of the Lord. But we walk away from an assembly, or we walk away from our encounter with God's Word, and we don't do it, we're like a fool that's building without a foundation. Because when trouble comes, it's going to implode, and trouble will come. Even for those of the world that are rich and powerful and good-looking and all that, trouble will come. Because riches won't last forever. Health certainly will not last forever. And one day, what will happen to the rich is the same thing that happens to every one of us. And that is, we're going to fulfill that appointment. Unless the Lord comes again, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And when that comes, what's going to happen? Well, when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Well, one of the things, if you kind of go backwards from here, just kind of flip back a little bit, kind of skim for a second. One of the things that Jesus said on this sermon, remember he said, you hear them and do them. One of the things he said is in Matthew chapter 6, when he talks about seeking, well, first of all, he talks about not worrying. So let's do that. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus told us even more blessed than motherhood is hearing and keeping the Word of God. And he says, you need to hear it, you need to keep it so that you're building your house on the rock. And one of the things he said to do that is don't worry. Now let's read together. Let's read Matthew chapter 6. And let us see in verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And by the way, yeah, there are people that don't have enough to eat, and they don't have warm clothing. Sometimes that's because they have chosen to walk with God and others have chosen to cause them pain because of it. And if you don't believe that, you need to think about what Paul said. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And I do not know. I am thankful that so far, I need to be grateful for everything. I am grateful that in my lifetime it has not yet happened to that extent. Although I felt the heat, and you have felt the heat of being a Christian. You have felt the heat of somebody that wanted to do the right thing when you're in a world of people that don't want to do the right thing. And I would imagine that we could trust God at His Word when He says it's going to get worse. Evil men shall grow worse, deceiving and being deceived. People are deceived. You don't think they're deceived? And I hate to say it, just look at the media, but don't look too long, okay? But what is being said by the media? And you say, what do you mean what's being said? And I'd say just about anything, just about any and everything comes out of the media, you can tell is tainted with a worldly point of view. You see opinions in just about every news piece now. You see snide headlines. Even the headlines are snide. If you keep reading it, you will hear Satan's voice in just about every paragraph because it's not being limited to the facts. Somebody's trying to put it in a context of, oh yeah, these people are bigots. These people are crazy. They're incompetent. They're incompetent when they do not go along with the ways of the world. All you have to do is think about some of the latest headlines concerning our Supreme Court justice in this state. We'll stop there. That's just a sample. Look at the ways of the world and you'll understand. You listen for a little bit and you'll see that's the world's way. We're going to feel that conflict. And yet, Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Well, let's continue. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So if the Lord is going to provide for His creation, remember that we are His creation. And if He promises us, and we'll see in just a minute a more specific promise from Jesus, if He makes the promise that He will care for us, can we not trust that? I'm going to tell you, I have a hard time trusting that sometimes, and it's not God's fault. It's not the fault of Jesus. It's me listening to things I shouldn't be listening to. It's me worrying about things that I shouldn't be worrying about. It's me walking by sight and not by faith. And when that happens, I get so worried. Way too much. You're not like that, are you? All right. Well, let's continue reading. He said, so why do you worry about clothing? Verse 28, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What do we drink? What will we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. All right, so Jesus said several things. He said, don't worry. And He said, seek the kingdom first. And if we're told by Jesus, we need to hear it and we need to put it in practice. Otherwise, we're like the foolish man. Then my question is, okay, how do I know that I'm seeking the kingdom first? Is that fair to kind of break it down into a specific idea this morning? How do I know I'm seeking the kingdom first? I think that's an important thing to focus on, because if we do that, I think the other thing's going to be taken care of. Well, let's consider these things as we look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, verse 34. First of all, I know that I'm putting the kingdom of God first when I am not worried about the things of this world. Now, I'm not saying that you can't plan, because that would be ridiculous. It'd be ridiculous to take that literally and not, let's say, put gas in your car because you're going on a long trip. And you just say, well, you know, your spouse says, honey, did you put gas? You fill up the tank? Nah, we're not going to worry about that. We'll worry about that when we get down the road. What would be the problem? Down the road, you might be on the road pushing your car to the next gas station. You have to plan ahead. And that's common sense. Jesus talked about planning ahead when He talked about who doesn't plan ahead if they're going to build a tower or if they're going to go to war. That's just common sense. But I mean something more than common sense. I'm talking about an issue that goes beyond common sense. I'm talking about the habit that reflects a mindset. And the mindset is, it's all on me, and God's not going to do anything about it. I got to take care of this. I got to handle it. Once you pray about it, yeah, I did that. I got to handle it. and we're not praying as we should, and we don't have faith in God's promises. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about worry. When I'm not worried about the things of this world, because to worry are these things. To worry is, first of all, not appropriate. Verse 25. It is not appropriate. Let me give you about five more of these things, I guess. It's not appropriate because you're worried about the wrong thing. I had a friend, co-worker, I guess, and I can't remember his name. It doesn't matter. That's me, my brain working or not. And I remember one of his comments. He would say, "Now, Dan, if you're worried about that, you're worried about the wrong thing." Now, I can't remember if I ever shared that with you or not. It doesn't matter. But I think it was helpful for him to say that. It was kind of humorous, the way he said it. You're worried about the wrong thing. And that's what Jesus says here in verse 25. If you are worried about your life, "Oh, I wonder how long I'm going to live." And I'm not being disrespectful to anyone facing any challenges, but I'm just talking about overall as Christians. How long am I going to live? Well, if you live to be 100, you might want to live to be 120. I don't want to give this up. Wait a minute. If you're worried about how long you live and you're worried about the wrong thing, rather than worry about the quantity of your days and years, we need to be worried about the quality. As in, are we living for God? And if we're living for God, remember, if we believe what we read, it does not matter. It won't matter 200 years from now. It won't matter if we live to be 30 or 80. You know why it won't matter 100, 200 years from now? Because it's all going to be over anyway, and if we've done the right thing, and if this world is still standing, we'll still be in a waiting place with the Lord. Luke 16 calls it Abraham's bosom. Looking back on it, why would we worry if we live to be this age or the next age or what? I mean, we understand that. We want to hang on. But if we worried about it, we worried about the wrong thing. Now, if we are worried, number two, we are not paying attention. Every once in a while, my wife implies that I'm not listening. Or at least I think that's what she says. Sometimes we're not listening to God. Because Jesus said, "Behold," this is verse 26. And then verse 28, "Consider." Pay attention to what God is doing. Now, how many of us are too worried about whatever it is we're worried about to notice the green pastures out there and to see the flowers along the way? Flowers around buildings, precious, pretty flowers. I didn't notice any today. If you put them out there, I'll notice them on the way out since I said that. But do you notice things like that? Pay attention to what God is doing with the birds of the air. You watch them next time. You hear them. Pay attention and look at that. So you know God created those birds. And they know how to get food because God's provided a way for them to do that. When you see those beautiful flowers, say, you know what? They're even temporary, but God said that even Solomon was not as glorious as these flowers. Why? Because God created those flowers. Pay attention and behold what God is doing. Number three, if we worry, it's not what we ought to do because it's not useful. Verse 27, "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" I cannot worry myself into 6 feet tall again. I think I was 6 feet tall about 30 years ago. I was discussing this with one of our young guys who's well over 6 feet tall. I think I was 6 feet tall, but I think the reason why back then I was over 6 feet tall is because back in the 70s, we had these shoes. Even the guys had these stacked shoes. Heels that were that tall, and even the soles were that thick. You know, we thought we were pretty sharp, and we were 6 foot. Shoes did the work, I guess. Well, it doesn't help anything to worry yourself that way. People try it, don't we? We try to change our appearance, so we do this, that, and the other to it. But literally changing ourselves, literally being something that we're not, literally turning this hair back black, I could not worry myself to it. And I don't want to do it, by the way. I'm just glad it's something's up there. But anyway, I've got it, and so I'm not going to worry about it. And so that's the point. We worry about the wrong things because we're not paying attention, and we can't change it anyway. Next, to worry is not being consistent with being a child of God. Look at verse 32. For after all these things, who's it say there? The Gentiles seek. Now remember, Jesus is writing this to the Jewish people. They were God's people. The Gentiles were those that are outside the covenant. Of course, we know that when Christ died, he brought a new covenant, and both Jew and Gentile are now in that covenant. But he made the point here about those people. At that time, those who were outside of the covenant, those that were not following the law of God. And Jesus said, people, basically this is what he's saying, people of the world do that. So it's not consistent with being a child of God. Now, you know what our problem is? We just get so immersed in our culture, we forget what a child of God ought to be doing from day to day. And we let the world tell us what we ought to be doing. Every once in a while, we'll look at Romans chapter 12, and we'll see that Paul said, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. All right, do we do that? Oh, that's kind of weird, preacher. Wait a minute, Paul was writing to Christians in a worldly setting. And he told Christians to be different. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You're dedicated to God. And then what the next thing he said was? He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Let me ask you a question, and it's one that you can ask me. Are you conformed to this world? One translation, it's kind of a loose translation, but it gets us to thinking, don't let the world pour you into its mold. Are we world-shaped? People look at our lives and we reflect worldliness with the things we say, the things we do, the things we spend our money on, and the things we hope for. And Paul said, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Go back to the Word of God and let the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, work in our life and change us as we seek to be conformed to the image of God's Son in this world. A Christian is to be different. The world's not saved. The Christian is. Therefore, the Christian is different. And if we're worried like what they are, then we are not being consistent with our message. And believe me, there are people that are watching you and they're watching me because you're professing to be a Christian, and they want to know, are you consistent with what you say you believe? All right? And then finally, when I am not worried about the things of the world is very important, because to worry is to not be appreciative of today. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And that's when that reminds me of what James said when he talked about what our life is. And you remember the comparison that he said in James chapter 4, before you go around bragging, I'm going to do this next year, I'm going to do that next year, he said, you need to consider what your life is. So James chapter 4, in verse 14, you don't know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then vanishes away. 20? Do I live to age 20? It's a little time. Do I live to age 40? Still a little time. 60? 80? 90? Do I make it to 100? People say, oh, you're going to live to be 100. And somehow we think that is the goal in life. Even 100 is a vapor. It is a little time, and then will vanish away. So what do? We seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So, going back to godly mothers want what's best for their children anyway. There is no greater joy for godly mothers than to see their children to walk in truth. That phrase is 3 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Jesus said, more blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. Our challenge this morning, as we have heard the word of God, is to evaluate whether we are keeping it. And if you know that you're not in the covenant with God, you can do something about it, because He provided the way, who is also the truth and the life, His Son Jesus. And through His death, burial, and resurrection, we have hope. And if we will do that through repentance and immersion and living the Christian life, we'll be new again. And Christian, if you've become old, you've gone back into the ways, old ways of the world, it's time to come back, to confess Him and to walk in the light again. If you'll do that, He'll forgive you of your sins. If you have a need this morning, we can encourage you. Let us do that as together we stand and sing this song of encouragement.